So we're just going to read Psalm 37, 1 to 11. I'm reading for the NIV. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. Amen.
Thanks, brother. Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. So, I hadn't talked to Sarah about Bart's preaching last week, but like Sarah, I was kind of exercised most of the week with the part of the Word of God that he pointed us to, and in sharing what he shared. And I don't know whether that happens to you, where when someone has shared God's Word, whether you find yourself just drawn to consider again, and then consider again, and then consider again, and you know, you find that it's speaking to your heart. So thanks, brother, for sharing as you did last week and pointing us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and particularly around verse 6. I actually believe that in this place, amongst us as a people, God speaks. He speaks through his word, and he speaks through his people. He speaks by his spirit. And one of the reasons that I brought with me the gifts that folks had given me, and is because, yeah, there was some significance attached to it. And this piece of rope, if the person that gave it to me was here, they would be able to tell me how many ton breaking strain there is. He told me the actual name of the rope. I can't remember it. And he and I are going to make some soft shackles out of it. But the breaking strain on that piece of rope would be probably stronger than a piece of steel, if you can believe that. But very strong rope. And I often think that there is a thread of truth that is always running through from week to week. But then I thought about it, it's really not a thread of truth. It's this cord of truth, this strong cord of truth, where God pulls together the truth of his word, and he might use different people to be speaking, but he's taking us on a journey and speaking things into our lives that we need. And, you know, I thought much about what it is where the scripture says that godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And I would not have come up with that phrase. And I've got a funny feeling that you wouldn't have come up with it either. Because we've all grown up in a world that is, for the most part, discontent. And there's always a great striving and a great wanting more. And the survey that that Bart quoted was that that people thought if they had 19 point whatever percent more, roughly 20% more, well, then they would have enough. The trouble is, when you get that 20% more, you're still after more. It's just part of our nature. And if you turn on the television and you see the advertising, you are told, You're told that you need more and you need better and you need bigger than what you've got, and it just breeds discontent in our hearts, as if we didn't already have a problem with that. So I believe God speaks. It's the question, however, is whether we're inclined to hear. And we looked in Isaiah 30 in the gathering last week, just in the early series. This is what the Sovereign Lord says, and He tells the people that their pursuit would be in vain, that His grace would be there for them, that He rises to show them compassion and He longs to be gracious to them. But He says, but you would not have it. In other words, you're not listening. God is speaking and people don't listen. You know, it's interesting in Revelations chapter 2 and 3, 7 times there's that statement there that says, He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And John and Jesus himself, you know, looked at people and said, you know, you have ears but you don't hear, you have eyes but you don't see. Well, I want to say, brothers and sisters, that God speaks, but we need to be ones who are listening. I don't know when I get to glory. I said to Keith, I said, you've got 36 years on me. I don't think I'm ever going to catch you. You know, Keith doesn't know when he's going to graduate to glory. He's had a wait a fair while. He told me probably 6 months ago, he said, you know, this long life thing is overrated. He's looking forward to going home to be with the Lord. And I don't know when I get to glory. I'm sure I won't. That guitar, I had that guitar made when I was about 18 years old, and it stood me in good stead for a long time. And I'm pretty sure that guitar won't make it to heaven, but in Christ I will. And I don't know whether I'll get to sit down. If we've got eternity up there, I might get the opportunity to sit down with David as a fellow musician. And I might ask him, David, what was the tune? What was the tune to this one? You know? We know the words, and these words have been precious to me for a long time. But what was the tune? How did it go? I'm sure it'll be a different style of music to anything I've experienced, but it'll still be rich and wonderful, and I'll love singing it. It was a song for people. It was a song for people like us. It was a song that God's word is spoken through. It's a song that was written that needed to be known, because then, like now, there is a natural tendency for us to be quite disturbed and disquiet about what is going on around us. And even though I was led to it because I was considering what it is to be really content in the Lord, godliness with contentment is great gain. And so to be really content in Him. And as I pondered that, it took me to this very familiar, one of my favorite psalms, had meant a lot to me for a long time. And particularly verse 4, which, you know, about... In the year before I met Lynn, you know, I was finding out what it was, really for the first time in my life, what it was to delight myself in the Lord, to find my contentment and to find my joy in Him. And so hence I just saw how this had been an important thing in my life. And even though there's still some things I need to learn about contentment and still some things I need to learn about delighting myself in Him, I felt led to this scripture and was reflecting on this as well. And so there's a lot that's here that you would be best to work out yourself between you and God. As I looked at it again last night, I looked at the fact that three times in these first few verses, God says to us, don't fret. Do not fret. We can look around and we can see people succeeding. We sometimes use the phrase, why do bad things happen to good people? You hear people say that? kind of when David's writing this, he says, why do good things happen to bad people? This is tremendously, tremendously upsetting. I get stirred up about it, and I know many of us do. We get stirred up when we see bad people having influence and affecting the lives of other people, whether it be on a small or a large scale. And God says, do not fret. Three times he repeats that phrase. Do not fret. And I think there in verse 8, it says, do not fret. Again, it says, it only leads to evil. It leads only to evil. So there's part of the message. It gives us a different direction than what we would normally take. There's an emphasis there on trusting. There's an emphasis on growing and delighting in the Lord. There's an emphasis on committing our way to Him. There's an emphasis on seeing our righteousness in God, our righteousness in Christ, being reflected, obviously. And there's a direction or a different direction or emphasis there on being still before the Lord and waiting patiently for Him. If you go, I'll just give you a bit of a summary to start with. If you read the whole 40 verses, you would find there are 18 promises. As I look through it, and I sort of look, well, where are the promises here, Lord? There's about 18 of them. If you look through it, you'll see there's about 10 warnings. Warnings where people are discounting who God is, disregarding Him, live as enemies of God. But God says of these people, they will perish. They will soon wither. They will be cut off. There's a number of statements, about 10 warnings, 10 consequences for not trusting in the Lord. And there's 15 character traits, or call it character traits or things that would define God's people. Godly qualities, if you like, in your life that impact you. And not only impact you, but are impacting on other people. I love it in the latter part of the chapter, verse 37. Consider the blameless and observe the upright. There is a future for the man of peace. Or another way of saying there will be posterity. There will be something that is passed on from a person of peace, a person whose way has been made right before God. There's something impacting about that person's life. So there's a lot of character traits, and I won't go through them all. I'll let you actually have a dig in and look for them, because I don't think you'd remember them all if I told you the 15 character traits and the 18 promises and the 10 warnings. So it's there. It's in black and white. You can dig in. But I just want to say to you, this whole song really is a song about trust. Trusting in God. We've just sung the song, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. You know, when I can't see you, I know you're here. When I can't feel you, I will not fear. I'll trust in you and I will not be afraid. So the song is really about trust. From beginning to end, trusting in the Lord. I love that proverb where in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding or don't rely on what you think you know. Come back to trusting God. Trust in the Lord and do good, it says. Trust in the Lord and do good. Do something good with your life. Instead of being worried and instead of being stressed, instead of being stirred up. Because that's what literally means. Do not fret. You know, do not be stirred up because of evil. Sometimes we find that very hard. Do not fret about the circumstances. Do not fret about people's behavior. Do not fret when people seem to succeed and they're doing the wrong thing. Do not be affected. But trust in the Lord. Walk with the Lord. You know, there's an old hymn, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what glory he sheds on our way. But we need to be ones who walk with him. And I believe that's what God is inviting us to do in this psalm. He's saying, walk with me, trust me, enjoy me, commit yourself to me. Allow my righteousness to be reflected through your life, and I want to make it obvious. Be still before me and wait for me. I shared at prayer meeting on Friday morning that verse 7 is not... I would love to breeze past verse 7 as quickly as I possibly could, because I'm not good at being still. I naturally like to do things. If something needs to be fixed, well, I just like to get into it and fix it. But God tells me, Michael, be still before me and wait patiently for me. And so there's some things that I need to learn about that. To be still, to rest, to surrender, to be silent, to submit. To be contented in waiting for him. To be willing to wait. I think a couple of weeks ago, Jeff talked about, I think, a posture. And this is a posture. This posture of just quietly trusting instead of having to be doing. Or instead of letting our heart be stirred up and us beginning to fret about the circumstances or about people or situations that may not be right. This whole psalm really is actually dealing with all of that. Situations that are not right, but in the midst of them, to trust in the Lord. I don't know how we're going with that. I don't know how you're going at walking with him and enjoying the privilege of walking with him. I don't know how you're going at delighting yourself in him. There's a statement in the Shorter Catechism that says that the chief purpose of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. A noted Bible teacher who many of us have enjoyed his ministry over some years has changed that by one word. Instead of "and enjoy him forever," he's put "by enjoying him forever." So the chief purpose of man is to glorify God by enjoying him forever. And I wonder, do we think about that? I wonder, do we think about the relationship that is opened up to us in love and in grace through the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we think about that as a privilege to be enjoyed, a walk to be enjoyed? Or do we see it as something of a religious duty? See, Nicodemus would have come to Jesus highly qualified in religious duty, and Jesus opened up to him the opportunity to be born again by God's grace, to be brought into the family of God through trust in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nicodemus had an idea that Jesus might be the Messiah, but he wasn't going to go all out and arrive in the daylight hours, so he came at night. And he sought Jesus, and Jesus began to explain the need for him to trust in God's one and only Son that was given, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the privilege of that relationship was something that, yes, we do believe, changed Nicodemus's life. The next thing we really hear about Nicodemus was that he was there as Jesus' body was taken down from the cross and carried to the tomb, where Jesus was placed 3 days before he rose again. I'd like to say to you today, the words of the song we're about to sing now, which we've sung for years, but I wonder whether the opening line of it might be something that you would actually gladly address to God, gladly address to Him, because you can put your trust in Him. You can do good. You can live this life in this place, and you can enjoy God's goodness. You can delight yourself in the Lord and go on the journey of enjoying your relationship with Him and grow in that. And He will open up to your life and give you the desires of your heart. That might mean some of the things that God has already put in you that He wants to see fulfilled. It might also mean some of the things He wants to change the desires of your heart to be in conformity to His will. I wonder, even on this day, whether you would say, yes, Lord, I am willing to commit my way to You, and I'm willing to trust You, and I know that You will do things that are far and beyond what I could ever do for myself, that You would make my righteousness, which is actually what You give me, not what I earn, but the righteousness that I can find that is complete in Christ, that You would credit to me, You'd make that shine obviously as the dawn, or as obvious as the noonday sun. And Lord, I would want to be one who would be still before You, and to wait patiently and not fret when people succeed in their ways and when they carry out their wicked schemes, because I trust in You. That's the opportunity that God gives you today. That's part of what it means for there to be godliness with contentment in your life. I love the way that Paul put it to Timothy, as he wrote and as we see in chapter 6, and I want to finish with this. He says to Timothy, but you, in verse 11, but you, man of God, flee from all this. In other words, flee from the rubbish. Flee from the stupidity. Flee from the controversy. Flee from the love of money. Flee from people that come up with all sorts of wacky ideas and they claim it, that it's godly teaching, when it's really not. Flee from arguments. Flee from constant friction between brothers and sisters, because it doesn't lead to any good. So there's things to put behind you and to be free of and to flee from. But it doesn't just finish there. It says, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Verse 12 says, fight the good fight of the faith. Isn't it interesting how that's laid together? You got these things which seem so quiet and gentle, to pursue righteousness, to pursue godliness, to pursue faith and love, to pursue that heart that would persevere and just keep on in that endurance, and pursue gentleness. And then he says, and fight the good fight. Doesn't God give us a completely different perspective to what you and I'd come up with? See, there's a way of fighting this good fight, and it's with absolute trust in God. It doesn't come from an aggressive, stirred-up spirit. It doesn't come out of fret and worry. It comes out of trust and reliance and gratitude and tremendous contentment in being His, in learning to walk with Him. So I wanted to encourage you, brothers and sisters, on this 16th of July, easy day for me to remember the date, and I am very grateful for God's goodness and grace to me. Grace and goodness that I have done nothing at all to deserve. And I'm just so thankful. How great are You, Lord? How great is Your mercy. how great are the things that you have done for me. You know, I think no matter what circumstances you're facing, if your focus moves from the circumstances to the Lord and your trust is in Him, then you can have a different way to step into this day and into this week and into the rest of your life.